I'm so happy to be here this morning with you all. This is fun. So I'm involved with a church in Chicago called LaSalle Street Church. And we are a church. We're in an interesting location because we are right between what used to be the Cabrini Green Projects and the Gold Coast, which is some of the richest property in Chicago, just a little north of downtown. So there we are, this church, you know, doing ministry in the city and loving it. And I tell you, I don't know, I feel like this whole church experience that I've had in the city kind of informs what I have to say and kind of how I live my life with Jesus. Things happen at our church that I don't know, they just seem so crazy and random. For instance, a couple months ago, I was coming over to the service, 9 o'clock service. It was about 8:30, so I'm coming over from our ministry building about a half a block away, and one of our workers said, oh, you got to come in here and meet with these girls. There's a couple girls. You really need to talk to them. And I thought, well, that's fine. That's, you know, cool. So I round the corner, and here are two young women, Stephanie and Michelle. I hadn't met them at that point, but they were standing there basically in their pajamas. And it was kind of chilly out, and here, you know, one had kind of the flannel-y kind of, you know, pants on, wife beater undershirt. The other had just little boxers and a little shirt. One had flip-flops. The other had no shoes. And they were crying their eyes out. So I, of course, said, good morning. Hey, what's up? You know, and they were a mess. They said, we were here in Chicago, you know, we were here partying all night. We're from Minneapolis, and we were in this motel, and our friend, we thought our friend, she took our money and took our phones and took all our stuff and just left us, and we're here in the motel, put us out, and we heard someone said we could find help here at your church. I thought, whoa, I'm, you know, glad you're here. So I took him over to the ministry building, which is where our offices are, and got them a couple, you know, shirts that we had to kind of cover them up and help them get warm, and made them some coffee and said, you know, so, you know, what's going on? And they said, well, you know, we're just partying stuff and Michelle just burst into tears again. And she said, and when our friend left, she just left, and this is going to be kind of crude language, so I apologize to everyone and the deans of the chapel, but she said when our friend left, she just left a bag of shoes, and there were condoms in that bag, and it just said, go ahead and whore your way back to Minneapolis. I said, whoa, that's harsh. She said, yeah, and she's just crying, and they'd been partying all night, you know, and the whole thing. And it was so amazing to me to sit with these women, because as opposed to being the interruption to my morning, that was my morning. So, you know, we were talking for a while, and then Stephanie said, I need to have a cigarette. I really need to have a cigarette. And she just started, you know, I don't know if you've been around smokers much, but, you know, it is kind of an addiction thing. So she's going, I really need a cigarette. I'm going to lose it. I need a cigarette. I went, okay, you know, just hang tight here. So I go running down, and by now it was just a little before 9. Church was about to start. And I'm going, does anybody have a cigarette? Does anybody here smoke? I need a cigarette now. And you know, and people are going, Orianne, what is, you know, what up? And I'm going, no, it's a ministry tool. I need a cigarette. And finally, one of our more humble and honest congregants said, well, I just happen to have one here, you know. So I got a cigarette, you know, and Stephanie was able to have a cigarette and kind of calm down a little bit. But you guys, it was so amazing to me in that morning to realize that I had the opportunity to do what Matthew 25 talks about. They were definitely naked. We clothed them. We found them some shoes. We got him a bus ticket back to Minneapolis. We got him down to the bus station. We gave him some breakfast and even gave him some books to read. You know, just took care of them. And as I reflected on that, I thought, oh, my word, that's what it is. That's what it is when you welcome the stranger, when you really just open your heart. It's an opening. And that was the thing, like, it really is opening your heart and making space for someone to be with you, making space for them to be who they are, not judging them, and allow that opportunity for ministry to happen. You would have loved this, you guys, because during the whole morning, you know, their language was just crazy, crazy wild. And they kept going, oh, I'm sorry, Reverend, I'm sorry, I don't, you know. But they were just going, this is so, you know, I'm not going to say the words because then I just be escorted out, I know. But, you know, and I thought, you guys, it's okay. They were freaking out. And the one girl said, you know, I know that, you know, we're not good Christians and we're probably going to go to hell and everything's just so terrible. And da-da. And I said, well, let's talk about that. You know, let's just sit, you know, let's sit for a minute. What, you know, what is your faith experience? And we had an opportunity. This was so cool because not only were we able to give them something to wear and get them back home, but to really talk about their faith. And it was so wonderful for me to be able to say to them, okay, you guys are not living a life that we would call pleasing to the Lord. We kind of get that. But you know that Jesus loves you right now, no matter what, right? And they're going, I don't know. I said, no, trust me. Trust me, Jesus loves you so much that he loves you right this second. And they're just kind of going, really? How can he? I said, because he's God. That's what he does. He's so much bigger than us. Does he want you to stay this way? Absolutely not. But, you know, as you guys are riding back to Minneapolis, you know, I encourage you just, you know, kind of think about that. I don't know, psych people, if you know David Benner, great books. Gave him a couple David Benner books that just talk about our life and the life of Christ and how, you know, we interface with the Lord and that type of thing. Well, I just realized that is what the ministry is about. That's what we're called to in missions. That's really what it is. It's about welcoming. It's about creating a welcoming space for people. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus says in Matthew 25, you know, whatever you do the least of these, you're doing to me. So I'm convinced, and I've been in urban ministry many, 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 many years. In fact, my friends who are from the city, they're so funny, said, oh, you all talk about urban ministry and urban missions. And you know, when you live in the city, it's just ministry. So I thought that was kind of fun. So when we think about ministering in the city, if you think about ministering any place in the world, it really is us opening ourselves up to other people. See, that was kind of a paradigm shift for me, because I'd kind of come up where you go in with your agenda, you go in with your whole thing of going, here's what you need to know, here's what you need to, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, no, it's a whole different thing. Henry Nouwen talks about this welcoming space. We call it hospitality, actually. Saying it's where you open your heart and someone can come in and be who they are and they can relax and they can hear and that we listen to them, that we treat them as Christ. Matthew 25, I love that that's in there. Whatever we do for the least of these, we do for Jesus. I lead a spirituality group at LaSalle Street Church called Faith for Life, where we go through the rule of Saint Benedict, and it's a Benedictine spirituality course. It's really fun with young adults, so 20-somethings. And Saint Benedict was so great because he said, okay, one of the important things about our monastery here is that we welcome people as Christ. So as we are having guests come and visitors and travelers, we welcome them as Christ. We honor them. We respect them. And so I'm thinking about this. You know, again, I'm at church thinking about this. And I'm standing on greeting duty. We have a vestibule there right off the main boulevard, LaSalle Street. And so I'm greeting people. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? And I'm just sitting there going, I will greet people. I will greet people as Christ. I will do this. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. I'm ready to roll. And I see this guy kind of coming up the block, and he looks very suspicious. He's a shorter man, at least to me. He's like 5'6", 5'7", you know. And he's just kind of, you know, looking around a lot. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? And he had like this really heavy bag with him. And I'm going, I will greet him as Christ. I will greet him as Christ. And lo and behold, of course, he comes up the stairs into the church. And I'm going, good morning, sir. How are you? And he's looking around. And he said, hey, are you one of those churches that you exchange money for guns? And I went, he said, you know, will you turn in your guns and you know, like, and I went, you know, we aren't one of those churches. But there honestly is a program like that in Chicago, and St. Matthew down the street does that. So I said, you know, St. Matthew, it's just, you know, a block over, a block down, you can't miss it. And he's going, all right, thank you very much. And he takes off. I'm going, okay, greet him as Christ. Who knew? Who knew that morning that Christ was packing heat? You know, I mean, it was just like, whoa. I know, it's just insane. So as we think about mission, as we think about ministering, as we think about, you know, doing urban ministry or international ministry, the number one thing here, and I think you're hearing me, is our own heart. Is our own heart being open to other people? We have a homeless ministry in our church called Breaking Bread. And every Wednesday evening, we serve over 100 people. Most of them are homeless. Some are people who live in like little SROs so that, you know, they eat with us so they can pay their light bill kind of thing. But it's fascinating to me to see how, as we open our hearts, these people, quote unquote, become our family. We do a home-cooked meal. We serve at tables. We use real silverware. We've got, you know, a clothing room and a nurse who comes. And all of a sudden, that little nasty guy, you know, that I see on the street corner becomes my friend Tony, whose street name is Dead Man. You know, so Tony's my friend. And so as I see him, it's not like I'm seeing, oh, here's this homeless guy. I'm seeing Tony, and I'm welcoming him. I'm hanging out with him, and I'm listening to him. This whole ministry of hospitality, of welcoming people into our family, opening our hearts and minds, it's difficult to do, you guys. It really is. So how do we do this? How do we start doing this whole thing? Because I love what I'm hearing this morning that Greg said and that Joy said and everyone has said to me, that it all starts right here. You don't even need to go to Chicago to do mission and ministry. It starts here on the campus of Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. So how do we do this? First of all, we pray and ask God to help us be attentive, to focus on the people around us, to recognize the stranger among us. Now, here's the thing that's a little scary, but it's so true. You guys, we are all the stranger. You're a stranger, I'm a stranger. We all have our stuff that makes us the other. We've got young men here this morning, I'm convinced of it, that are struggling with pornography. We've got folks that are struggling with food disorders. We've got people here this morning who are the stranger, who are struggling with depression and other, you know, bipolar stuff. I mean, let's own it, you guys. We're a mess. We need to welcome each other. We've got men and women here in our midst who are struggling with their sexual identity. I mean, we've all got stuff. Can we start here at Asbury and welcome each other? It starts with being attentive, realizing, watching people's nonverbals, listening just not to what they're saying, but to what they're not saying. Attentive to each other. Does it seem like the person in the suite or the room down the hall, they're just kind of holding up and they're kind of isolating themselves? They're feeling like a stranger. Sometimes it's easier just to go out to the city or to go out to another land and do ministry. Sometimes it's more difficult right where you are to take that step and say, how you doing, for real? What's going on, for real? We need to be attentive to each other, you guys. That's where it starts. Just recognizing, because I can see it sometimes. Right now I see it on some of your faces. There's some pain here. There's some dysfunction in this room. And none of us are exempt. I mean, we've all got our stuff. Can we welcome each other as the stranger? Can we open our hearts to each other and really, the second thing, listen. Listen and love. Listen to what's going on without judgment, without hate. You know, the whole gay issue is huge. I mean, let's call it like it is. It's huge. It's in our church. It's probably in your church. If it's not, it's going to be. And the thing that concerns me, theology aside, the thing that really concerns me and grieves me is the hate I see on the part of some folks. Both straight and gay, just hate. I'm going, where's the love of God? We've got to listen to each other. We've got to understand each other. We've got to know each other. And that holds true for ministry. We're attentive and we listen and we love. Again, St. Benedict, love St. Benedict. He says, he talks about obedience. He says, you know, obedience is one of the tenets, one of the main tenets of Benedictine spirituality, of their monastery. And the word obedience, the way they break it down, means to listen fully and respond in love. So if you're here today and you're a young man and you're struggling with pornography, I'll tell you the first response I have is sadness. Because you're at Asbury, you know what Scripture says. You know you want to live a life pure to the Lord. So I'm not going to come in and go, oh, you are so messed up. I'm not going to toss you to the curb? You're already there. Am I going to condone your behavior and your activity? Absolutely not. But I want to hear your heart. I want to make that space to hear your brokenness. That space where we can be together. That space where you can heal. That is absolutely crucial for us. That we can listen and we can love and we can be agents of healing. You know, in Chicago, there's a well-known Bible college really close to our church who we love. And they send their students out. In fact, a number of their students are involved in our homeless ministry. They send them out to do evangelism. So if you ever go to Chicago, you're up at Borders, you know, the little park right across the street, they'll be there handing out stuff and doing chalk talks. And is that, you know, my dog in that? Absolutely not. But what I always do is walk up to them. And it's kind of fun because they're not from Chicago. So they're kind of alarmed. They're like witnessing to me and, you know, like, you can know Christ. I said, yes, I spoke with him this morning, you know, and... And they just, you know. And once we establish that, yes, I am saved. I'm not only saved, I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. That even scares them a little. That's kind of fun. Anyway, so as I'm talking to them, saying, okay, you guys, are you really talking to anybody? Are you talking with people, not just talking at them? Because in Chicago, I don't know about other places, but you almost like have to earn the right to be heard. That's that open heart thing. You can't just sit down and say to someone, hey, do you know Christ? And they'll go, you do not know me. You do not know anything about me. And I cannot believe you are talking to me. Because you haven't earned that right. Or to say, well, you know, I understand where you are. No, you really don't. Until you've walked in my shoes or at least sat with me for 10 minutes, you don't know me. Opening our hearts, creating a welcoming space where we can love and forgive and we can be agents of healing to each other. That's what mission is about. That's what ministry is about. I'll tell you, I think your desire is like mine. I want to be Jesus to other people. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. That should be very obvious. But that's my desire. So that when I talk to people who are homeless and people who are addicted and young men and women who are, you know, struggling with so much pressure, so many questions, so many doubts and fears. I really desire to be that person like Christ who, if I get in trouble with anybody, it's going to be the church leader saying, what were you doing there and there? I mean, I went to a gay bar the other night to meet with a gentleman who had been an intern with our church years ago and had been in the closet and had come out, blah, 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 blah. And he just really wanted to share his story. And I said, well, sure, when can we get together? And so he said, well, how about da, 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 da? And I thought, you know, I'm doing it, doggone it. So I'm in the gay bar, you know, it's late at night, we're hanging out, and I'm walking out, and I'm thinking, okay, so what if someone sees me coming out of the gay bar, and they say to my pastor, you know, pastor, you know, Orion was in the gay bar, you know what she's going to say? You're going to love this. Of course she was. She is seeking to be like Jesus, to hang out with the people that are a mess, to hang out with the people that nobody wants to listen to. You know, I love theology, you guys. I'm committed to the scriptures. I believe in the word of God, but I also want to hear your story. I can quote scriptures ad nauseum, and I can defend homosexuality. I can defend straightness. I can defend this. I mean, you can defend anything you want, really. I mean, if we, you know, we can twist it. And I'm committed to my own convictions according to the word. But when I'm talking to you, I want to hear your heart. I want to be safe. I want to be one that says, you know, you aren't living a life that's pleasing to Christ. We got that. But let's pray together. You know, what steps can you take? How can I be an instrument of peace and healing to you? That's where it starts, you guys. It's messy stuff. Christine Pohl, who teaches over here at the seminary, has a great book called Making Room. She talks about how messy it is to really be hospitable, really be open. Jean Vanier talks about the annoyance of the disturbance of hospitality. It's messy, but it's so good, and it's so kingdom of God. It really, really is. I know we need to take off now because you guys have to go to class. So do you guys know the song God of Justice? Does anyone know it? Raise your hand if you know it. Do you know it? Some of you know it? You don't know it? Okay, a couple of you do. Well, maybe we'll teach cheer real quick here. You know, we're going to change the program. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song I think that hopefully all of you know. Jesus, we love you. And God, this morning, I'm thankful. I'm excited that these men and women, these young men and women, these students are here at a Christian college. Oh, Lord, that's so great. And God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you will, in each of our hearts, open us up. Lord, help us to see people with your eyes. Help us to love with your heart. Lord, help us to be a place of hospitality and safety. Lord, you have calls on our lives. I pray that wherever we end up, whether it's rural or suburban, international, here in the United States, Lord, I pray you will prepare us to be your instruments of peace, your agents of transformation. We thank you, Lord.